Treatment is an opportunity for someone to shift their direction in life. It provides a safe space for our authentic self to reemerge, where past hopes and dreams begin to reappear. By creating and putting into action a robust continuing care plan, we can continue to support the work that began in treatment. Data from Sierra Tucson's post-treatment program, Connect 365, reveals that 88% of alumni report having attended support groups during their first year post-treatment, and 97% of alumni report adherence to continuing care recommendations since leaving treatment. To tell us more are two experts from Sierra Tucson, Tim McLeod, NCRC Level 2, Director of Alumni Relations and Connect 365, and Robert LaChapelle, NCRC Level 2 as well, and Alumni Coordinator and Lead Connect 365 Coach. This is Let's Talk, Mind, Body, Spirit by Sierra Tucson. Sierra Tucson ranked number one best addiction treatment centers 2020 in Arizona by Newsweek. I'm Scott Webb. So gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me today. We all kind of know that recovery is a journey and not a destination. So Robert, I want to start with you and have you share your unique perspective around this topic and really what motivates you.
Well, for me, I know exactly what it's like to be a patient in a residential treatment facility. I, too, found myself as a resident in treatment. And I remember thinking to myself, how did I get here? What am I doing here? And I had fear, a lot of unknowns to face. I didn't want to talk to anybody, share with anybody. The stigma of treatment alone was scary for me. But as I went through the process, a lot of light bulbs went off almost on a daily basis. Started to feel fantastic. And boy, I didn't want to leave. So I know what it's like to have that experience, you know, what my life was like leading up to the moment I admitted into treatment and the things I felt when I left. So it's a nice perspective to know what others are feeling and perhaps thinking that are in treatment right now. So it's like having an edge because, you know, been there, done that. I can totally relate and understand. That's my unique perspective, you know, the experience. I've been through it and I'm still in recovery, so.
Yeah, it's very interesting. As you say, you've kind of been there and done that. And Tim, I'm wondering what your perspective is on this.
It's very similar to Robert's. I, too, went to treatment, and it was back in 1999, and what a difference it made. And so knowing that and experiencing that in the role that I have today as an alumni coordinator, director of alumni relations, and being able to support those that have been through, and the need to keep up the work that was done while in treatment to continue it long after. You know, if I wanted to keep what I received and the gifts and the blessings while I was in treatment and all the things that I learned, I needed to continue to apply that in my life. And things only got better because of that.
Yeah, it sounds like so many important lessons learned for both of you. You both have unique perspectives on this conversation today about recovering being a journey and not a destination, and what keeps people going and how do they deal with recovery and how do they sort of manage their lives, you know, after recovery, that journey, if you will, that they're still on. So when you think of alumni, even besides yourselves who have been successful in their long-term recovery, what do you think has helped them make that recovery possible? Robert?
What I gather is, you know, one must stay engaged in the recovery. They have to be active in their recovery. Chatting with folks, the conclusion I've come to is that I haven't heard of one successful recovery story where a person has done absolutely nothing. You know, even for me, I had to be engaged. I had to take action. Wouldn't it have been so nice, though, to just leave treatment and sit in the chair and go, I'm cured. How cool and how lucky am I? But it's behaviors that, you know, need to change. Coping skills should be employed. Yeah, being engaged in one's recovery, being active, staying connected to others. You can't be idle.
I think that's one of the things I've learned in hosting these Sierra Tucson podcasts is just how important it is that people take responsibility for their own recovery. that they advocate for themselves, that they're actively engaged. You know, Sierra Tucson does everything they can, mind, body, spirit, of course, but they really need the people in recovery to do their part. And has that been your experience as well, Tim?
Absolutely. And, you know, the importance of applying wellness into all aspects of your life. And it's the simple things that we can do each and every day that sustain the long-term recovery. And that's getting up, making the bed, brushing your teeth, exercise, your nutrition, all these things. And it's those little marginal gains that will get you a long way. I think for so many, it was, well, if I did this and it was this big thing, you know, and if only this would happen, if only that would happen. And it's more about just staying active, staying engaged, staying in the middle of the herd. Is when you think about having that support around you and not just out there dabbling in the recovery, expecting things to happen and to sustain you. Again, stay in the herd and working through these things and having that support. And like Robert said, being active and engaged is so important.
That sounds right, active and engaged. And as Robert said, it'd be so nice to just kind of sit back in a chair and let the recovery happen, but that's just not the way it works. And you both bring unique and personal perspectives to this. And I mentioned Sierra Tucson, and I'm wondering, Robert, how Sierra Tucson is supporting long-term recovery.
We take our work here when residents are here on campus seriously, but we also take post-treatment seriously. And we know that the first year in treatment is the most critical, because folks leave Sierra Tucson with new coping skills and they need to make changes, boundaries. So it's a learning curve when folks leave. So what we have in place is a recovery coach program. It's called Connect 365, where all residents get a recovery coach. You know, it's a year long with weekly check-ins. It's great for accountability, for continuing care planning, someone to lean on, because one may feel a little wobbly leaving Sierra Tucson during that course of the first year. So like to have folks know that they're not alone and they have someone here at Sierra Tucson that they can lean on, their recovery coach. We know the lingo of recovery. Don't like anyone leaving here feeling alone. I think a little fear is healthy, but not alone. So Connect 365, we also have an app, and it's an interactive app. And that's where some of the engagement can take place, even through the app with our participants. You know, we have the check-ins. We talk about gratitude, intentions. We have information regarding sleep, nutrition, exercise. They can communicate with the recovery coach through the app. So it's a great way to start a new healthy routine, because sometimes the residents' routines prior to treatment were not the healthiest. So this is an additional tool to keep folks active in their recovery.
Yeah, and Tim, I know that you're involved with Connect 365 as well and have probably done some coaching. So what's your perspective on this when it comes to long-term recovery and how Sierra Tucson supports people?
We also include, besides the Connect 365 and the coaching and again, staying engaged and helping that individual work through, you know, the challenges that come, that arise as you walk in your path of recovery. And we also, this last year, had to adapt to the times. And we've had meetings that used to, you know, happen around the country, face-to-face meetings, and those all stopped. And so we started online support group meetings and back in March of last year. And now we're offering up to 17 a week to where alumni can get on and connect with others. And it's been a great support for them. And also, we've had webinars that we've offered up, a virtual retreat that we did where they can come and gather information and hear, and when I say gather more tools to apply to their recovery. And again, to circle, or what some people call their tribe, of people that understand and get them to walk alongside them. And so that's some of the things that we've done.
When we talk about success stories, Robert, maybe can you share any success stories that stand out, either not just for yourself, but for the others that you've helped?
Countless success stories, and it's so great to hear them. And when those folks share them with others, it's just a powerful experience to be able to relate to that. Because a lot of miracles happen here. I know this one guy, he thought he was living a dream, but he was very much consumed in his addictions. And reluctantly, this gentleman came to Sierra Tucson for treatment to address that. Saw changes in this individual over the course of 4 weeks. Next thing you know, this gentleman is working himself in the recovery field. So to see someone come, you know, broken, go through the treatment process, and it is a process, but to slowly every day make adjustments and changes and see themselves differently and just a different outlook on life. And then to also want to work in the field. To me, it's great to see, great to hear. That's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do.
Right. Isn't that amazing that people come for recovery, like both of you and this gentleman you're referring to, and they find their calling, maybe that thing that had been missing from their lives that they didn't even know was missing, and they find their calling. And Tim, has that been your experience, both for you and working with patients, that people tend to sort of find themselves in recovery?
It awakens an excitement within them, these hopes and dreams that might have been, you know, pressed down with depression, addiction, and all those challenges that they're facing. And when there's like a crack in that eggshell, and some of that light gets to go into those areas where these past hopes and dreams, and they can start to bud and they start to branch out. And it's exciting to experience and exciting to watch. And for myself, that again, it's just blooming experience of that, wow, you know, I could do that, or I can do that, or maybe this is what I'm supposed to do here. And, you know, there was somebody that reached out to me this last year, and being this challenge of COVID, that was sharing, you know, I was slowly but surely falling into a depression due to the isolation of COVID. I started attending these meetings, speaking of the online meetings, and the support I felt from them has been amazing. I have a tribe of people that I know are safe when I'm having a great day and safe when I'm not. And that's so true. And that's what I find as well when I connect with others that have walked a very similar path that I have. And it helps me understand that I'm not alone. And I'm reminded that I'm not terminally unique, meaning that nobody else out there has the same challenges that I have.
So, Robert, as we get close to wrapping up here, for those who are preparing to leave residential care, what would you like to tell them, and what should they be planning?
My whole take on post-treatment is, again, stay active. One must be active in their recovery. Have a continuing care plan. What are you going to do the day you leave Sierra Tucson? What does that look like? You know, you got to give that consideration. I remember when I left from Sierra Tucson home, and just, it's been in my house, but things look different. They smell different. I'm thinking differently. So we got to think of, you know, what holes are you going to fill from your prior routine? Because an unhealthy routine, change has to happen. So you got to remove some of those negative behaviors that were in your routine prior and fill them with recovery routine, recovery activities. So having a continuing care plan is vital. You know, structure, accountability will be there, and you'll be out of your head less. The transition home or to another facility, a step-down facility, it sounds easy to some, but feedback I received, the transition can be scary, wobbly. Different coping skills need to be employed. You know, might have to set boundaries with some of your loved ones as well. So there's more to it than just waving goodbye and attending a meeting. So just to be aware of some challenges that that individual face, some triggers that individual may face, and how they're going to fill in the holes in their weekly routine. That's what I like to share with folks.
As you say, just waving goodbye to Sierra Tucson and heading home, that's really the beginning of the journey, right, Tim?
Absolutely. And that journey is one day at a time. Don't get so far out ahead of yourself. It's easy, as some of us call it, the future trip. Looking at something 6 months down the road, how am I going to do with that? How am I going to do it? And that's okay to work with your professionals and your and talk about it in the recovery circle about maybe something that you're anxious about. But also is to stay here in the moment and be present. And, you know, Robert hit a key word, and that was structure. And I've heard so many times about how, oh, I wish I had that structure when I was in treatment. And in continuing that, you know, if you were up and you were eating breakfast at 7:30 when you're in treatment, well, then continue that when you leave. And what were you doing now? And, you know, and planning your day and what that looks like. And there's, you know, in recovery, there's no Saturday or Sunday, meaning there's no, like, a day off. It's easy to have that mindset. We need to do something each and every day for self-care, to take care of us. And so I think about using our time wisely. And then the other piece to that is that no one stands alone. No one does. I've never heard somebody say to me that I just did all this on my own. And if I want to grow and experience more than I could ever imagine, which has happened for me, then I need to continue to be engaged and work through these stumbling blocks, these things that have held me back prior to recovery. And those things come up more, you know, over the years. And even though you might have been out for 15 years, there's always something that we can work on to help us handle life on life's terms.
Yeah, that's well said. And this has been such a great conversation. And we kind of prefaced it by saying that recovery is a journey, not a destination. And so great that folks in recovery have both of you and your personally informed stories, that you both have been there, done that. You both work in alumni relations and Connect 365 and are available for coaching. And really great that folks have you guys there to go on that journey with them. And I really appreciate your time today. You both stay well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You too, Scott, and thank you.
Call 800-842-4487 or go to sierratucson.com for more information. Sierra Tucson, where change begins. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is Let's Talk Mind, Body, Spirit from Sierra Tucson. I'm Scott Webb. Stay well.